Chapter 21. Prax, Princus Praxa. Zerberin limped down the unlit manufactorum hallway, leaning into Brother Antheil's shoulder to support himself on his remaining foot. The darkness was near absolute, leavened only by the green beams of the Scion's visual augmenters. It was enough to make out the old blood and lasburns on the walls. The Praxians here had fought. Bestial cries and gunfire echoed through the abandoned rooms. He tried to inject some haste into his stride, but he had yet to adapt to his altered anatomy. A human would have been killed by blood loss or systemic shock by now, but his superiority over human norms was scant consolation. After several minutes, the rattle of orcish fire growing nearer, the corridor took a 90-degree turn. In place of the wall that should have been in front of them, however, was a brick pile. There had been a false wall here. Behind it, illuminated now by the six Scion's targeting beams, was a blast door that clearly had no due place in an agri-processing facility large enough to admit a space marine in tactical dreadnought armor. It looked like solid adamantium, and the iron warriors had left it locked behind them. Rayok stepped forward and laid his gauntlets on the door. He turned back. His augmeticized face was a glowing skull in the gloom. He shook his head. Unbreakable. "What now?" Antheil murmured. Swallowing a curse that he could not afford to let the Scions hear, Zerberin looked away from the door, maneuvering himself towards the rune numeric console mounted just inside the frame. Set into the terminal alongside the keypad was a palm scanner. Kalkator had said that the base's concealed entrances were secured by a genetic lock. There was genetic variation enough between the fourth and their hated cousins of the seventh to differentiate them with a fine enough scan. But Kalkator had also said that this fortress was built early in the Great Crusade. And that had been a different time, a time when his gene ancestors and Kalkator might, without rancor, have called one another friend and brother. For long seconds he hesitated, then removed his gauntlet and pushed his palm to the reader. A red bar backlit the panel and scanned upwards. The light disappeared. Zerberin tensed. There was a rumble of magnetic seals decoupling and the metal-on-metal scrape of disengaging locks. Zerberin let out a breath as the blast door slid open. "From honour cometh iron. Have admittance, son of my brother." The voice was a scratchy ancient recording, but retained some of the power it must once have held in flesh. It was strength, indomitable iron, something that time and worse than time could never fully corrupt. Zerberin shivered, uncertain whether he had just been given a rare gift or the darkest curse. "Was that?
To what circle of damnation has he led us?"
said Rayok, his voice a whispered, almost reverential growl. Visual augmenter beams painted the wall behind the blast door with green bands. It was a circular chamber about the same size as the interior of a drop pod, large enough to accommodate 12 space marines in full battle plate. Controls blinked in a variety of different colors. Diodes indicated up and down. Only the down was illuminated, a soft white. It was an elevator. With a nod to Antheil, Zerberin led them in. Bryce and the Scions flowed in behind him, with Rayok entering last. The apothecary examined the selector panel. The different levels of the complex were each indicated by an ivory button marked from top to bottom with an incrementally decreasing numeral. Rayok shrugged and punched the lowest button. Zerberin would have made the same choice. Exemplars in action and in intent, exemplars in forethought. The blast doors whined shut, and the elevator plunged into a descent. It was practically free fall. An atmospheric insertion by drop pod could not have been quicker, and the elevator's depth indicators flashed down in a matter of seconds. Deceleration was equally drastic. The fist's exemplar had been engineered for high-velocity strikes, and even Zerberin, with pain pulsing from his severed nerves, remained standing. The Scions, however, were thrown to the ground and scattered to the four walls. Through force of willpower, Bryce managed to crawl out as the doors hissed open, threw up on the panel steel floor, and rolled onto his back. Rayok plucked him from the ground by his webbing. Zerberin and Anteel shuffled out together. They were on a wall-bracketed companionway at the equatorial line of a vast spherical chamber. Vermilion alert lights strobed cyclically over the polished steel walls like the daylight terminator of a planet spinning out of control around a harsh red star. He looked down over the handrail. Far, far below, contained within concentric rings of adamantium and brass, was a tank of water so cold that Zerberin felt moisture crystallizing on his face even from where he was standing. Gas bubbled through it, but the water moved strangely, sluggishly. "Heavy water," murmured Anteel, the acoustics lending themselves to the soft-spoken. "Used in atomic weaponry." Turning up, Zerberin saw pistons as wide as the legs of a Reva Titan slide in and out of solid metal jackets with a rhythmic grinding thunder. Cabling hung from everything like cargo webbing.
3 minutes to mark, came a dolorous warning from all around.
With Anteel a willing crutch, Zerberin hurried around the companionway to the nearest of several catwalks that projected out over the water tank. He limped down it. Rayok and Bryce followed a short distance behind. Suspended at the chamber's core was an instrumentation platform of some kind. Banks of cogitators and command compilers filled it, tangling into the descending mess of cables with more wires of their own. There was Kalkator, unarmed, helm maglocked to his thigh, his face dully illuminated with code projected by the surrounding screens. A pair of Iron Warriors Chosen were there with him, similarly unarmed and occupied with operating their systems. The rest must have been engaged elsewhere in the facility.
"What is this?"
said Zerberin, a gauntlet finger pointed accusingly at Kalkator.
"You know what it is, little cousin. 2 minutes to mark. Exterminatus."
Kalkator smiled thinly.
"Nothing so incomplete. Perturabo always believed in complete solutions, and he raised his sons in his image."
He indicated the interface in front of him. Lines of unintelligible green code filled the display, surrounded by a mass of coloured wires, switches, and dials. There were prominent features, however, that Zerberin instinctively recognised as a firing sequence.
"Nothing will remain of Prax but an asteroid field." "You talk of the absolute destruction of a habitable planet."
Bryce's eyes were wide and unfocused, but the wrath in his voice was tight as a laser.
"There is no graver affront against the Emperor."
Ignoring the Militarum Tempestus man, Kalkator looked Zerberin's beaten battleplate up and down. The warsmith noted the way he leaned against his brother, the raspiness of his breaths, and his gaze lingered on the stump of Zerberin's leg.
"Neither of us wishes for a galaxy in which the greenskins dominate, mankind just one more diminished race cruising the halo stars or trapped within their fortresses in the eye of terror. Conventional warfare will not defeat this enemy. The orcs are too organized, too powerful, and too fast. This world could supply billions. Even if we could take it, we are too far from reinforcements to hold it. The orcs would have an attack moon in orbit in days. You know this. If we are to hurt the orcs, then we have to hit them hard."
"Chapter Master Thane could request an exterminatus," said Zerberin, shaking his head. "But even he would not authorize the ultimate sanction on a whim."
"Authority,"
said Kalkator, chalky features twisting in disgust, disappointment.
"I was led to understand that your chapter was the first of the Imperial Fist's successors, that you carried the blood of visionaries. Your brother chapters must despise you for your wisdom."
"Such is our burden."
"Thane is dead," Kalkator pressed. "Magnaric is dead. Your founder, Dantalion, is dead. It is the way of the galaxy to renew itself to ever lesser degree, and here, now, it is just you and me, cousin."
His hand hovered over the reader. His gauntlets were locked to his hip beside his horned helm.
"I am Warsmith of a grand company, a rank equivalent to that of Chapter Master.
I hold seniority in the larger force. By the principles of your Codex Astartes, the decision is mine to make.
Something inside Zerberin snapped. He shoved Kalkator back from the command console.
You quote the Codex to me? You are a traitor, Kalkator. Legion excommunicatis. By Gilliman's laws, I should kill you now and then deliver myself to the Inquisition in chains for allowing this travesty to have continued for so long. But you won't. Not yet. Your Imperium needs us. It needs this.
Zerberin clenched his fists and forcibly lowered them. Kalkator was right. The same infernal logic that had led to the creation of the last wall led now to this. It felt inevitable, and no more wrong now than it had been amidst all the good intentions and necessary evils at Fahl. A pained laugh, the bubbling, hurt-filled revelation of a man who had just witnessed the dark side of the universe and returned not quite sane, pulled their focus from one another. Unnoticed, Bryce had slipped away from Rayok and had a hell pistol in each hand, one aimed between Kalkator's eyes, the other at the dented ceramite providing incomplete coverage of Zerberin's primary heart. There was no indication that he faced down lords of mankind whom he had fought alongside bare moments before. He knew only conviction. The galaxy partitioned clearly into that which fell within the Emperor's light and all else. Zerberin wondered if any exemplar had ever thought that way.
Move away from the controls, my lords, said Bryce.
The honorific emerged like a term of disparagement, a placeholder that he had yet to consider an alternative to. Zerberin noted the other Tempestus scions staggering out along the companionway above, groggy but disciplined, and with no uncertainty whatsoever in their aim. One of the Chosen reached for his maglocked combi bolter, but a wave of Bryce's hell pistol across his warsmith's eyes persuaded him to move his hand away.
Don't fire!
Zerberin ordered the Iron Warriors, raising his empty hand and turning back to Bryce.
Traitor, is it? Your Imperium, is it?
Bryce laughed again, humorless, and tightened his grip.
What is an Imperial world filled with the Emperor's subjects to such as you? I am no traitor,
Zerberin snapped. Bryce's burnt mouth became a disbelieving sneer.
1 minute to mark. I am an exemplar,
Zerberin shouted.
My word is that of Rogel Dorn himself. This is the only way.
Zerberin saw the man respond to his words, watched the expression on his face change as he tried to process the complex variables. He saw the expression set. He saw the tension that gripped Bryce's trigger finger and reacted on instinct. Zerberin's gauntlet snapped out faster even than he could think, enclosing Bryce's augmeticized right hand. A slight squeeze crushed the scion's bionic up to the wrist. Bryce closed his eyes and screamed, dragging his second shot wide of Kalkator's shoulder.
Please, Major!
The scion's skull detonated before his eyes, plastering his face in sticky red gore. Half a second later, the arm went slack and slumped in Zerberin's grip, but he did not think to let go. Stunned, he stared past the headless corpse. Kalkator was there, his bolter up and hot.
No!
Hot shot lashed the command hub with a savagery of truth. Wires were shredded and housings scorched, thousand-year-old cogitator units going up in fountains of sparks. The Chosen stepped past Zerberin and opened up with a thunderous outpouring of explosive rounds.
No!
Zerberin yelled again, louder, caged by red spears and noise. Antil jerked as though electrocuted. A searing lance angled across his back, spun him half around, and threw him into an interface that exploded underneath him. The veteran flew back on a nimbus of charge, rolled over the outer rail, and a minute later splashed into the supercooled heavy water.
Mark!
The announcement was a death knell.
No!
Kalkator pushed his unarmored palm to the interface and spoke a command in a language that Zerberin had never heard. The timbre of the deeply submerged atom engine plunged,
felt through long-wave vibrations in the gut rather than heard. The grinding sound of deep mechanical reconfigurations reverberated from the walls of the spherical chamber, amplified by its acoustics so that standing there at its core, it sounded like being inside a mechanical chronometer as it geared up to strike a long-awaited millennial bell. The gunfire ceased. Even the Iron Warriors held their bolters close and looked around with unease. The last surviving Scion took advantage of the lull to look down over the companionway handrail to the bubbling water below. Zerberin felt he recognized him, the Vox officer on Bryce's command squad during the Agriplex raid. Horror dawning, the Scion dropped back, raising a hand to the Vox boost selector behind the cheek guard of his Omni-shield.
Sergeant Jaskolska, Memphis, evacuate now! Now! Raise the commissariat and tell them that the Fist's exemplar have...
A tight burst of bolter fire drowned out the rest. Calcator set his bolter down on the terminal as Trooper Memphis's remains splashed across the curved wall.
I have your gunship on Auspex, he said, as though the past minute had not just consigned billions to execution. On an escape, Vector.
He examined the readout of a scorched sensorium console.
And Gilliman, inbound. Has Penitence made contact with the fleet?
I do not know. How much do you think the humans heard?
I do not know. If word gets out, I know.
Avoiding Calcator's eye, Zerberin thumbed the activation switch of what, though arcane in design, looked to be a Vox unit. A garbled overlay of orcoid cant and system noise scratched through. It sounded like voices. Columba, Tarsus, Leonis, Jaskolska. Ghosts drawn to him through electromagnetic snow. His brothers would be made to understand that the destruction of Prax had been necessary for the greater good if they heard it first from him. They shared a singular vision, a rare gift for reason. But Issachar? Cassandra? Beaumont? The Inquisition? His hand moved of its own volition, knowing even before he did what needed to be done. Punching last wall protocols into the cryptex key, he hit transmit. Long seconds of alien traffic and accusing voices filled the line.
What are you doing?
Said Rayok. The metallic grill that covered his lower jaw made him look like a muzzled beast.
What any brother in possession of the same set of facts would have to.
Are you sure, brother?
Zerberin did not answer. He was a descendant of Oriax Tantalion. The answer was obvious. The comm link hissed open, butchered by static, but the direct voice on the other end was recognizably that of an Eidolican serf.
Gilliman receiving. Last wall codes recognized. Is that truly you, Lord Captain?
It is, and...
He silenced the pickup and turned to Calcator. How long do we have?
5 to 6 hours before it is done, 30 minutes before we no longer want to be standing on this planet.
Zerberin nodded and reactivated a unit.
And requiring immediate extraction. Repeat, immediate.
Understood, Lord Captain. Thunderhawks are undergoing final flight checks now. I will transmit the pilots your coordinates.
Eyes locked to Calcator's unflinching gaze, Zerberin spoke again into the receiver.
Penitence has been commandeered by local traitor militia. Do not establish contact, and under no circumstances are they to be permitted to board.
Calcator nodded. He knew what it meant to betray a brother. Zerberin closed his eyes.
Shoot them down,